As we now transition into a time of hearing the scripture read and preached this morning, I invite you to remember where we are in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has been going throughout the countryside with his disciples, going to Judea and Samaria and all around, teaching and preaching and healing and doing great miracles. And now he is in Jerusalem, and his final days are near. So he focuses in on the core of his message, the really important things to him and to God. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Hear the word of the Lord this morning from Mark 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard Jesus debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no one but him. To love him with all of your heart, with all of your understanding, and with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Christ and the disciples had finally arrived in Jerusalem, and they arrived to great fanfare. People, crowds gathered, laid their coats on the ground, fanned Jesus with palms, and Jesus rode in like a king on a donkey to this holy city. This was the culmination of Jesus' ministry, the climax of his life and his teaching. He knew that death was just days away, and here Jesus holds nothing back. In the verses preceding this, we see Jesus cleansing the temple, kicking out the moneylenders. We see him teaching, telling many great parables. And here we find him surrounded by crowds of people come to learn from him and maybe challenge him a little bit. Today, particularly, we find Jesus surrounded by the religious leaders of the day who didn't like Jesus much because he did things a little different than they did. So they were debating with him, trying to belittle him, trying to put him down and make him look like a fool. But then this new man enters the scene and sees what's going on and is drawn to what Jesus is saying. So this new man, a teacher of the law, sees something wise in Jesus and asks him a heart-filled question. He says, "Out of all the commandments, which one is the most important one?" This was a common question back in that day because you see there were over 600 laws that God commanded people to obey. So oftentimes the religious leaders would sit around trying to figure out which one was the most important. It wasn't that they were trying to get out of following the other ones, or that they wanted to see which ones really mattered and which ones they could push aside. No, they wanted to know what the core of Jesus' teaching was. What was the main law that all the other laws rested on? The cornerstone or the foundation of Christ's teaching. Jesus responds in a traditional way, the way that most religious leaders of that day would have responded and would have agreed was the correct answer. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This commandment is a direct quote from the book of Deuteronomy, a book of God's laws, and it was one of the most important laws in Jewish tradition. It's called the Shema, and it was the center of the Jewish prayer book. It was the first scripture Jewish children would memorize, and devout Jews would say this verse both in the morning and in the evening, and they would carry it bound around their wrist. All of the Jewish leaders would have agreed that this is the central law, the law upon which all others rest, the core of God's teaching. But Jesus, never content to leave things as they are, takes it a step further. And he continues. He says the second commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these, Christ says. For Jesus, the command to love your neighbor and to love God are two sides of the same coin. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without having the other. To love God, you must love your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, you are showing your love to God. These commandments are inseparable. And the natural response to our love for God is to love our neighbor. Here, Jesus is telling us that love is the guiding principle of God's law, that love is the cornerstone, the foundation of all these other laws that God gives us, that we are to love God and to love each other. And this man, this teacher, immediately recognizes the wisdom in Christ's words, and Jesus praises him for his faith. There is something incredibly beautiful to me about this law, the golden rule that we are to love each other as we want to be loved, that we are to value each other just like we value ourselves, that we should want good for all people. It's a beautiful thing, but it is also an incredibly difficult thing as well. And I must admit that I have a difficult time loving the people I like every day, let alone loving people I might not like or might not know yet. It's hard to affirm the rights and dignity of people I disagree with, or to love that guy who keeps getting on my nerves. But that's the kind of sacrificial love God tells us to have. Not just love the people you like, but love all people. And you see, Jesus isn't just talking about having warm feelings towards each other. He's not saying you should just have happy thoughts. He's saying that your love must be put into action. It's not just seeing somebody and having your heart swell with emotion, but biblical love is about a commitment to each other. It's a love that drives us to service, a stubborn, unwavering commitment to somebody else and wanting good things for them, just like you want good things for yourself. Christ is calling us here to recognize the worth and humanity of each and every person that we encounter, to want for them what we want for ourselves, a warm bed, a safe place to raise their children, the ability to work and prosper, freedom from oppression and violence, to want for them what we want for ourselves, and then to act on these convictions. It's not enough to just think happy thoughts towards people, but we must put those thoughts into action. It's not easy, I will admit, but it is the life that God calls us to, the central teaching of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Poet Mary Oliver says it well. She says, "Christianity is profoundly counterintuitive. Love thy neighbor as thyself, which I think properly understood means that your neighbor is as worthy of love as you are. Not that you're actually going to be able to be capable of this sort of superhuman feat, but you are supposed to run against the grain. It's supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to be a challenge." What a great metaphor for the Christian life, that it's us running against the grain, that our efforts to love and to care and to serve don't come naturally to us. It's not what the world tells us to do, but that we are to run against the grain in love and sacrifice of others. And it's not like we're ever going to get this right, that we're ever going to be perfect Christians, that we'll be able to perfectly love every person that we encounter. It goes against our broken and selfish nature. But this is the goal that we are to strive for, the standard that we aim for, loving others as we love ourselves, to love God and to love our neighbor. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is the central teaching to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, on this All Saints Day, we honor those saints who have gone before us, who have run the good race, fought the good fight, and have received their reward in heaven. And we remember them. We celebrate their life. We honor them. We try to follow in their footsteps. But today isn't just about remembering those who have gone before. It's also about remembering that we, too, have been called saints, and that we, too, have been called to fight this good fight. I don't think there are many in this room that feel worthy of the title saint. I know I don't. But it is who we are. The word saint literally means a holy one, one set apart for God. And in our baptism, we have been set apart for God's work, set apart as his beloved child, and set apart to go out into this world and to share his love with everyone we meet. So that means every day, no matter what you do or where you go, you are being sent by God to share his love. You, a saint of God, bring God's message to this world. So whether you're a parent or a child or a spouse, a coworker, a volunteer, an employee, whatever you do, you have been called to holy work, the work of sharing God's love. We might not feel like saints most of the time, but I think the closest we get is when we learn to love others like we love ourselves. That's when we get a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. That's when our halo grows strong. That's when our heavenly Father rejoices with us. When we love others like God loves us. So how do we do this? How do we do this? I think it starts with seeing ourselves in others. Recognizing that our neighbors, our enemies, have the same hopes and wants and needs as we have. Recognizing that God loves them, just like he loves us. They say a picture is worth a thousand words, and I have a picture to share with you this morning. And I invite you to take a minute and meditate on it. What words is God saying to you through this image? What might this gentleman be thinking as he sees his own reflection in the face of a homeless man? What might he be feeling? Could he be seeing his own broken hopes and dreams, feeling the man's pain, recognizing how close he too is to losing it all? We must learn to see ourselves reflected in those around us, to feel their pain, to remember that they are God's own. So when you see somebody who's fallen on hard times, we must fight that natural instinct to judge and instead affirm their dignity and their personhood. When somebody cuts you off in traffic or says something snarky, we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. Remember that they're going through a hard time too, and they might need an extra measure of God's grace. If you see somebody with different political views than you, or a different faith, or a different religious tradition, to not belittle them and insult them, but treat them with respect and with love. How do we learn to see ourselves reflected in the face of others? I'd like to close today by sharing with you a story another pastor tells, a story that illustrates this self-giving love so beautifully, that models this kind of love for us. This pastor was serving as a chaplain at Stanford Hospital, and he met this little girl, Lisa, and she was very sick, and she was dying of a rare disease. And her best hope was getting a blood transfusion from her brother, who also had suffered from the same disease, but somehow miraculously had recovered and had developed antibodies and was able to survive. So the doctors thought if they did a blood transfusion, that his sister might get some of his strength and might be able to recover as well. And the chaplain was there when the doctor asked the little boy if he'd be willing to give his sister some blood. And the little boy hesitated, but only for a second, and he said yes. And as the transfusion was happening and the little girl's face was flushing up and hopefully getting better, the little boy turned to the doctor and asked, "Will I die right away?" And he misunderstood that his sister only needed some of his blood and not all, but he had been willing to give it anyway. He loved his sister as much, if not more, than he loved himself, and he wanted good things for her, life and health and joy, and he was willing to sacrifice himself for her. What a beautiful picture of self-giving love. This is the kind of love that Christ has modeled for us, dying on the cross so that we could live. And it's the kind of love that Christ invites us to follow, to give of ourselves so that others could live. Love. Love is what God's law is all about. Love of God and love of others. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And when we learn to love in this way, it's how we show God our love for him, and it's how we show the world God's love. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you have loved us so much that some of that has spilled over onto us, and we are able to be messengers of your love. Lord, I thank you that you loved us even when we were unworthy, when we did bad, God, when we were lost and in need of help, that you came and found us. Lord, I thank you that you are with us now, and I ask that you would teach us to love as you have loved, God, so that through us, through our everyday activities and relationships, that the world would come to know that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.